Romans chapter 5. While you're turning there, we'll be in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I do want to say, today we celebrate the birth of a great nation. We often complain, and we express, because we have the freedom of speech, we express our opposing views to different ideas and theologies of the culture. But I do believe we still live in the greatest nation on the earth today. But we're not here to just celebrate that we're an independent nation. We're here to be thankful for the independence that God gave this nation. We are what we are by the grace of God. We enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy by the grace of God. Let us never forget. So as we celebrate, let us not just say we're independent. Let's celebrate the Savior, the God who has built this country. And I praise God for His goodness. Would you stand with me? Romans chapter 5, having been justified by faith, is the title of the message today. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in the tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we thank You. We praise Your holy name for Your goodness, for giving us a nation where we may worship You without fear, for giving us the opportunity to witness and spread Your gospel message throughout our land. Thank You for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for preserving this nation. Lord, I pray that You would guide our hearts now as we look into Your Word. Give us understanding, eyes to see, and ears to hear. Oh, Lord, speak to us today that we may know we have been in Your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now today, we start up with the same subject that we've been on for a while, and that's Paul, as he tries to convince the Roman Jews that salvation or justification is by faith. Ever since chapter 2, we've preached, somewhere 6 messages on justification by faith. And you may say at this point, I've got it. I understand. I'm justified by faith. And that's good. But I want to make sure you got it. Okay? You see, when you really have it, it opens up a new door of understanding of the spiritual riches that you have in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying here. Because we have been justified by faith, we have, number one, peace with God. You will never have peace with God until you understand that your salvation does not depend on you. Okay? That's the most important line in this part of the message that you've got to get. You will never have peace with God until you understand that your salvation does not depend upon you. Why? Because you have a sin problem. Everybody present here today has a sin problem, myself included. You see, everything about us says, I'm not good enough to go to heaven. Paul put it like this, Romans 7:15. He said, for what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. And what I hate, that I do. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, I do the things I don't want to do. I've got a sin problem. And when you've got a sin problem, If you do not understand salvation by grace through faith, you will not ever be secure in your salvation. Why? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I look out in this congregation today. I see people I love very much. I see good people. Don't you see good people? Now, considering, right? There's some good people here. Amen? Okay. Moving right along. But you know, as good as we are, I can tell you what's going to happen to you next week. It's not because I'm really smart or I'm a prophet or a fortune teller or anything else. I can just tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go out next week and do something you should not do. That's called sin. Brother Doug, do you have that problem? I guarantee you next week I'll do something I should not do. It's called sin. And if you do not understand that your salvation depends 100% upon Jesus Christ and the price that He paid upon the cross of Calvary, when you commit that sin next week, there will be an immediate doubt that says you're not good enough to go to heaven. There will be an immediate thought of, have I crossed the line? Bless it. You know, and what we're talking about here is, of course, security of the believer. You've got to have security to have peace. If you do not understand that I can't earn my salvation, then next week when you commit that sin, you're going to say, did I cross the line? Am I still going to heaven? Am I going to hell? You'll never have that peace. I had one fellow tell me one time that about security of the believer. He said, I don't think you'll ever know for sure until you're in heaven. Listen, if you don't know before then, you've waited too late. You're going to wake up in hell. You need to know. Your salvation is 100% based upon Jesus Christ, not your works. You say, Brother Doug, how does that give you peace? Well, see, here's my peace. Next week when I go out and do that thing that I really shouldn't do that we call sin, I'm going to be able to lay down and sleep at night because I know the blood of Jesus Christ still covers my sin. I'm not going to heaven because who I am. I'm going to heaven because of who Jesus Christ is. And beloved, that gives the believer a peace that he can get nowhere else. The first thing we have, because we've been justified by faith, is peace with God. Second thing we have is access into grace. See, this should make you feel privileged right here. That word access, it means admission into somewhere. It's like having the golden ticket that lets you into some special event. That's really what it means. And as it's used here, it means admission into the presence of God. You see, for the Jew in that day, direct access to God was absolutely unthinkable. I mean, you know, to the Jew of that day, only the high priest would have such access to God. They would have to take their sacrifices and problems to the high priest, and he'd offer their sacrifice on their behalf. But now, you see, Jesus made it absolutely evident when He was crucified in the temple. There was the Holy of Holies that high priest was the only one that was able to enter into once a year. And when Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, when Jesus said, "It is finished," that curtain that separated the holy from the Holy of Holies was ripped from top to bottom. Meaning, now Jesus is our high priest. Being seated at the right hand of the Father, now we're granted entrance into the presence of God because of who Jesus Christ is. You see, that gives us access to the grace of God. We're talking about a position here. It carries the idea of being once again immovable. Do you understand? Do you understand that if you are a child of God, you stand in a permanent position of favor before God that can never be taken away from you? I'm going to tell you something. Child of God, And you need to listen. God really does like you. Let me rephrase that. No, God really does love you. And it's good to be loved. Oh, listen to me. When God calls Himself the Heavenly Father, He knows how to be a father. So much so that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And if you are a child of God today, I want you to understand that you have been granted access into the grace of God and you into the favor of God that no one ever, even Satan himself, can take that from you. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I love this verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I can see Paul pouring out his heart as he writes that nothing's going to ever separate me from the grace of my Heavenly Father. Doesn't that just stir the heart? Doesn't that just make you say, that's right, I am a child of God. Please excuse my voice this morning. It's a little raspy this morning, but we'll get there. All right. What I want you to get, and what Paul's trying to get across to the saved person, is what you have in Jesus Christ. Second, third thing we have the joy. He said, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Understand, when the word hope is used in the Bible, it's not used like you and I would use the word hope. We say such things like, I hope it's going to rain. But we don't know whether it's going to rain or whether it's not. But when the word hope is used in the Bible, it is an expectation of something you're certain that will happen in the future. So what Paul is saying here when he says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You realize as a child of God, your future is bright and it's not something you're hoping will happen. That you have an expectation that there has been a place prepared eternal in the heavens for you by the hand of Jesus Christ that will never, ever, ever pass away. Do you realize we have a bright future? And there's no reason to fear. I love 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself will descend. You ever think about these things? I believe we're this close. This close. I don't name days, but I read the signs, right? For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will be caught up. You know what that word caught up means? It means to be snatched, for lack of a better way to put it. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we'll always be with the Lord. You realize one of these days, if you're a child of God, faster than you can blink your eyes, you're going to be snatched from this earth and put in the presence of Jesus Christ. Then all that stuff that you're worried about, what if and maybe will happen, might happen in the future, it won't matter anymore because you'll be living in eternity. Love, I want you to understand as a child of God, if you're a child of God, you have a wonderful, bright future in Jesus Christ our Lord. The next thing, fourth thing that Paul wanted to share with us is that we have confidence. Verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory. You know that word glory, it means to be glad, to rejoice in. What do we rejoice in? Tribulations. Let's be real. Okay, I've told you the good things about being a Christian, you know, that by faith we've been granted access to the grace of God, and by faith we have peace with God, but let's just be straight and real. Being a Christian is not always a bed of roses. Matter of fact, there's a lot of times it's not very easy at all. That's called tribulation. How could Paul say that we glory in tribulation? Well, first of all, understand that word tribulation means pressure. And it's describing the pressure that the world would put on you because you are a child of God. Now, how can you be glad when you're suffering for the sake of Christ? It's easy. You see, you know. You know that there is a purpose. That God is not in heaven being mean, right? He's not in heaven going, I'm just waiting for that old boy to mess up so I can knock him in the head. That's not your God. That's not who God is, right? But sometimes God allows you to go through tribulation to grow you. And that's what Paul is saying here. You see, you've got to look at tribulation as an opportunity, not just trouble that you're going through. And Paul is trying to convince the reader here that tribulation produces things. The first thing it produces is perseverance. That word perseverance means endurance. The more you go through, the more you learn to endure. Have you noticed that? I go back to when I was a young Christian, I didn't have the endurance of anything. Today, I'm a lot better than I was back then. But God's not through with me yet either. I share with you. There's a young lady that's a friend of our family. Her name's Kim. And I was her pastor when I was in Corinth, Mississippi. And she has grown up today. And she's a doctor of what, Michael? Physical therapist. And so anyway, I was her pastor when she was young. And after she grew up, she's taken to running marathons. I'm like, why would anybody want to run 26 miles? Beyond me, I don't. But the girl does, and she's good at it, right? Well, a couple weeks ago, she stepped beyond that. She did an Ironman triathlon competition. Now, when I first heard, I was like, no, no. But sure enough, Kim, and this is a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a 26-mile run, all in the same day. And Kim comes to Victory on occasion when she's in Arkansas, and she'll come visit with us. So next time you see Kim, you'll know there's an iron woman. But you know, I didn't get a detailed plan of Kim's workout schedule, but I promise you this. She did not just wake up one morning and say, I believe I'll run an Ironman competition today. She didn't. You know what she did? She trained. She experienced the pain and the torture of running and swimming and biking and running and swimming and biking. And every time she would train, she'd push herself a little farther. She'd push herself a little farther. And she'd push herself a little farther. Till finally she came to the point that she thought she could accomplish that task. And I said she entered the competition a couple weeks ago. That young lady finished the competition the same day. Right? You give me a car, I don't go that far in the same day. You know? Bless her heart. I just, you know, kind of, you know, when you feel like you know somebody important that's done something big and it kind of makes you feel good. I was just kind of like me. I know somebody that did the Ironman competition. I used to be her pastor. I know, big deal, right? But it made me proud. But see, that's the way you've got to look at life. and going through the tribulations and the trials that we face in this life. It's just training you for the next big thing. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself and, oh, I can't go through this, and whining and complaining, hey, suck it up, buttercup. Let's do the Iron Man for God. You know, you got to understand, God is working in your life. He's not trying to tear you apart. He's trying to build you up. But it only comes through the training of tribulation. Not only does tribulation produce perseverance, perseverance produces character. Now, that word character, it literally means proven character. Back to my friend Kim. She put it, you know, after the fact, she put on Facebook, I hope it's okay, I didn't tell her I was going to preach about her this morning, Michael. But she put some of her experience on Facebook, and one of the things that she put on Facebook was when she ran into the stadium and crossed the finish line. And I was like, wow, yeah, I know her. I know her. And when she was coming, running into that stadium, you could see that girl was tired. I mean, she looked tired. But there was also a look on her face of, that's right, I did it. And you could see it the way she ran, the look on her face. That's right, I finished. I did what I came here to do. That's the way I want to finish for God. That's what Paul is talking about right here. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, get this. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who love His appearing. You may be going through hard today. You don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just got to know God's working. God's building you. And you may think, I don't know how much more I can take. You also got to know, God's teaching you to endure. He's building your spiritual muscle. You've got to know He's got a purpose. And that purpose is to give you proven character. So that you can show up at the finish line. Say, I've fought a good fight. I have run the race. I didn't quit. I didn't give up when it was hard. I didn't give in when I wanted to. I kept on pressing for the mark. Listen, as a child of God, in that who we're looking to be, one of these days we're going to cross that finish line. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want my character built by the hand of God. And if it means tribulation, it means tribulation. If it means good times, it's good times. Whatever the Lord deems that we need to go through, don't think He's abandoning you. He's simply growing you. He said to add, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. I love this last verse. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see what it's all going to come down to? It's going to build your hope. Remember, I told you, hope is not hoping something's going to happen. It's an expectation that it's going to happen. Here's what you get when you go through those difficult times. You're going to find that God is always faithful. Every time. You may get pushed to the very limit. You think, I don't know, if one more thing, I'm going to fall off the edge. Well, Quite honestly, you don't know what your limits are. God does. Okay? And I promise you, as soon as you say, if one more thing happens, you'll get that one more thing. It's just the way it goes. But you have to understand, the bottom line is, going through those trials teaches you to expect God, get this, to show up. The more you've seen God come to the rescue, the more you will learn to expect God to come to the rescue. And the more you will depend on God to come to the rescue. And I said this a while ago, but I'm going to say it again. God is always faithful. And that's something you have to learn. And the only way to learn that is to go through the fire. I'll give you something. Excuse me. Consider Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know they were commanded to bow down to the statue of the king, and they said no. So the king did what? He threw them in the furnace. Famous story we've all heard from our childhood. You know what had to be the best part of that story that maybe you've never considered? When the king said, "Didn't you all throw three men in the fire?" Servant said, "Yes, sir, we threw three men." And the king said, "But there are four in that fire. And one of them's like unto who? The Son of God." You know the best part of that story is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were walking in the fire with Jesus. They would have never walked with Jesus had they not been thrown in the fire. I have to imagine from that day forward that nothing worried them anymore. Hey, listen, if another fire comes on, we're going to walk with Jesus. Jesus will be there. Now I want you to stop where you are right now. If you're one of those that are going through trouble, if you're hurting, if you're facing the crisis, and just stop. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't running through the fire saying, "Whoa, whoa, we're in trouble. Running around." No. They were thrown in the fire, and that's where they found Jesus. Listen, that's where you'll find Jesus too. Listen, I hate to say this. I really do. But trouble's where we draw near to Jesus. Trouble's where we realize we need Jesus. Trouble is where we learn that Jesus can do anything. So because we're children of God, justified by faith, trusting in what Jesus has done, is doing, and is going to do, we are a blessed people of God. Now the only people here today that are not blessed, that really have no portion in what I've shared with you, are those who have never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Now, I want to be straight with you. I'm not here to belittle anybody, but I want to tell you the truth according to the Word of God. The Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does that mean? That means you're a sinner and you are in trouble. You're going to die and you're going to stand before God one day. And if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now I ask you, please, stop and consider. You know you've sinned. You know you're going to die. And you're going to stand before Jesus. What are you going to tell Him? "Well, Lord, I was as good as I can be." That won't cut it. For all have sinned and come short. That means you're not good enough. "Well, Lord, I went to church a few times." That's not good enough. What do you need to do? I'm glad to share with you. God proved His love for you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. That means, even though you weren't worth it, Jesus took death for you to pay your sin debt. You see, that's the key. All have sinned. That sin has to be paid for. It has to be judged, or God's not a righteous judge. God's not a righteous God. And so, sin was judged through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Now my question to you is, will you accept the gift of salvation? It's what it's called for. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. The gift of salvation is offered to you. Will you take it? Say, Brother Doug, how do I take it? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're a prayer away, a simple prayer away from salvation. But I can't do it for you. That's between you and God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right where you sit today, you can confess to Jesus that you are a sinner, that you know He is the Son of God who died for your sins, and you can ask Jesus to save you. And Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you ask Him? If you're here today and you have the assurance of salvation, I want you to pray with me. There are people in this service, I feel sure, who need to be saved. Let's pray that God will give them the courage to step out during this invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need You. We rejoice in all that we have as Your child. We thank You, Lord, for paying for our sin upon the cross of Calvary. And now we come to the point of the invitation. Lord, there are people here who need to be saved, and You know who they are. I don't. I don't know anyone's relationship with You. But Lord, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. That when they walk out, they will walk out saved. Lord, help us as Your children to rejoice and glory in the blessings that we have as Your child. Yes, Lord, we rejoice in Your grace. We thank You and rejoice for the tribulations. We rejoice to know we're children of the King. Now we pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?